there's no way of doing that. It's all medicine.
Right. If
you stand on the leg and pull up the same side, that's it. Perfect.
Yeah. Sometimes I play with things and they break, and it gets me in a lot of trouble. Alright, and this is something that I've composed like just a year ago, and it's titleless, so if I could get some feedback or what type of title you'd recommend for it, I'd love it. It was in a dark period in my life, but you probably know that just by listening to it. Dogs fighting, screaming with agony, ambulance sirens fading in the distance, roosters unaware of night and day, surrealistic view of losing one's way, church bells echo, coughs and muffled sneezes resonate from below, from this cancerous demon who is trying to help. When smartness fails and gullibility prevails, this room engulfs in flatulation, barely standing your own. I dream of a home I one day long for, but I am still concerned with what to fill it with instead of who to fill it. I gave my love and understanding and have been left with nothing resembling pride. I take little satisfaction in the lies I can see right through. This should be the best time of my life, but I just cannot break free and run. Who am I? Where is my mind? A candle that had burned once so brightly on both ends longs for undeserving rewards.
Fair play on Shinra. Good stuff. Then Ibra Kahir, number four, will be Hamish Abdullah. Well then.
Woo!
So, this is something I dabbled with last month, so. It's the beginning of a story, I suppose. Okay. I used to be good at being me. My feeble childhood made me skillful at many things. Things that the imagination cages in as you grow older. Wonderful disasters. For some, life begins at the moment of birth. But this isn't necessarily accurate, because I'm still waiting for mine to begin. The most eventful moment of my time so far has been the rail accident. To answer some questions, I was 16. I had been travelling with my parents, was going home to the home I had built with the fragile hopes and desires of an adopted child. The trip would have been a long one if I hadn't stumbled and fractured my skull there on the asphalt at my adopted mother's feet. "Oh, Josephine," she screamed in fright and awe. Some of my blood misted her canvas shoes. She christened me Josephine. My real name is Saida. I am a dead Arab's daughter. After the accident, in hospital, my head spun for 5 continuous days. They claim I slept like an angel. I choose to only believe in myself. And when I woke from my medicated dreams, the smiles cut all their faces. The doctor's eyes were snake's eyes. His tongue slithered between his thin lips as he spoke to my adopted parents. I understood that I was alone. That night, they took me home, and I left Josephine behind. I took nothing of her because nothing was mine. All the fear in me had been knocked out with a modest splatter of blood. They tried to persuade me not to go when I said I was leaving. My adopted father's words gently demanded I stay, and in his eyes he was short of picking up a shotgun. They threatened me with fear and the dark man. But the dark man is a myth that puts little children to bed at night. He confines people in their homes behind their curtained windows. He lurks behind their feelings. The dark man makes lonely people tremble in alleyways. He's all alone and all powerful, a god among gods, a master of minds. He waits inside. My father was a dark man.
Hi, Rich, Pennsylvania, that was great. Next up is Raymond Stedman's piece for me. Called Poets. I wondered what a poet looked like. and change my clothes 5 times. What if they spot me, or have they already cost me glorious crime? They say a poet knows words, knows rhyme, knows rhythm, knows life, is expressive, is gifted. Who I? Not I. Who me? Not me. I change my clothes again. Maybe a poet just likes words, likes rhyme, likes rhythm, likes life, can be expressive, sometimes gifted. Who I? Not I. Who me? Who knows? The green dress felt right. It's me, that's for sure. Comfy but girly. Expression that shows? Who knows? I sat and wrote some words, no one to hear, no one to see, no crime committed, no clothes to wear, just my words and needs. I think it doesn't matter, the word is just a noun. I put on another set of clothes, that'll take away this frown. Grammy Margaret Raylan. So, the show in this again, we're going to play the music by Jason Butler, Grammy Margaret.
This is a song that I wrote called It's Like the Devil Has My Soul. With this God,
darkest eyes were his. As the sun sets upon the bridge, shadows moving everywhere, the red shines brightest in your heart. Over and over again, the lady weeps upon his grave, and you will forever. Light falls down behind the fields, always taking away. Dawn turns to dust, the stars shine for you.
Well-behaved outside its privacy, our fruition and tears, where on twilight's apex they actually kissed you, yanking wishes from troubled sleep, recurring a dream to his newfound success. Oh God, America, are you coming home for tea this time of the day this year when the weather has just started, improving, revising the deeds of the sun, So come on, tell me about your birth and subsequent wife, life in the Stygian Banks. Officially ranking best in the world by the World Thumb Rule. Now she was born psychosis, I believe. Nothing on welfare, all for scrutiny. Walk your way and pay your duty. All in disarray, I believe. You're about to ask me, Morrison is joking at the brink of his grave. I kid you not. You agree? America has served your purpose. Cheer him on. Thank you.
For me and my Patricia, I hear the name of the ring, not Billy Ramsey.
Thanks very much. I'll just like to do two poems about happiness. The first one is called I've actually forgotten what it's called. When it came to happiness, she was a gourmet, a connoisseur of small moments and extravagance. Like a hummingbird, free as jazz, she floated away. She wasn't immune to love, but her need to stay on top of things meant she didn't brave romance when it came to happiness. She was a gourmet of the ungraspable now, savoring on the spot, without delay, what the rest of us reheat at a bitter distance. Like a hummingbird, free as jazz, she floated away. I envied her, of course, which isn't to say her dance, her casual way, didn't leave me in a trance. When it came to happiness, she was a gourmet. To recognize contentment was her gift, her forte. Sipping the nectar from selected instants like a hummingbird. Free as jazz, she floated away from me with the old line. Is there anything I can say to make this easier for you? Not a chance. When it came to happiness, she was a gourmet. Like a hummingbird, free as jazz, she floated away. Hey, that's this other one, though. It's another poem about happiness. Thank you very much. You're kind. You're too kind. I just wrote this there recently, so I freed off the page. But Brother Kelly Tiger, which I think was fucking brilliant. The best thing ever happened to the country since we got rid of English. I'm actually serious. I read this like kind of people giving up to Kelly Tiger, you know, because I didn't have to emigrate, and I'm very happy for that. This is about it, but Kelly Tiger. Let us not condemn the fallen people of frost. The ways among them knew the lush, all-giving scenes were tainted and would bring them nothing good. But in their wisdom they stayed silent, as wise men will, to escape the depredations of the foolish. And the ill-omened gold came out of the ground in cartloads. Let us grant the rumors true, but not the legends. They built strange carriages, high, airy houses, some built glittering palaces, tapered towers that troubled the clouds. But for the greater part, their avarice was measured, seeking not the wealth of emperors, but merely a benign enrichment. And who among us here, in foolishness or wisdom, would have acted any differently? They were happy, they deserved to be. Their fathers went missing like salt in the sea. They were happy, they deserved to be. And they were spending their money like water. Let us not envy the sudden wealth that brought them down, nor delight too much or overlong in their destruction. For not unlike to earth's sad land was that pitiful kingdom, that realm set off from our own by the softest of frontiers, by porous, ever-shifting marches. Their fast chieftains resembled their own in pride and ignobility, in lazy malice. And like us, they valued offspring most of all, rendering unto their own kith four-fifths of the fruits of their digging. But the gold their gods gave them was maledicted and defiled, and the contagion spread from their hands to the very mortar of their shapely houses, to each fibre they put on, their crust and crumb, their bone and their blood to the fifth generation. They were happy, they deserved to be, their mothers went missing like salt in the sea. They were happy, they deserved to be, and they were spending their money like water. I'm not finished yet. Marvel not that they served the mechanical gods, the gods who numbered each one of them, and called them by number and not by a given name, the gods of wire and glass, of glinting chromium, who logged all their doings, their meagerest whispers. For who among you has not felt that temptation? Their carriages ventured each morning to the temples, poised on smooth lawns or perched on the edges of deserts, vast windowless edifices brimming with light, where on each day but one in each seven they would prospect and dig in the shadow of those shrines, where each day they would break bread and gossip, labor and pray. They were happy, they deserved to be. Their fathers went missing like salt in the sea. They were happy, they deserved to be, and they were spending their money like water. Let us forgive how they walked half knowingly into their ruin, for the people of frost held out an imperfect welcome to the lost and exiled people of sand, and gave of their bounty with only modest reluctance to those dusky skinned folk, till many among their number came to call that cold kingdom home. And the people of frost made such dishes, such confections, and their high flown follies still pleasure the eye, their fluid bridges, their sandstone colonnades, their Elysian high and idle towers are still graceful lit up cenotaphs over their empty cities. And the music they played poured through the air and left nothing, in lathery waves, clean and ungraspable as the foam of the tide. Then let us forgive their stupidity, their soft, honorable greed. They were happy, they deserved to be. Their mothers went missing like salt in the sea. They were happy, they deserved to be, and they were spending their money like water. Grandmother.
She reminded me of Orville. And one of my friends who was there, the guy called Alan Copley, who's quite frequent here, and we met here, and we met the mother of his daughter here as well, so I think it was important. And I'm the godfather of the little girl as well, so it was really nice to come back to poetry. So I'm going to read a couple of poems, and if you'll indulge me, I might show you a bit of magic. So here we go. This one, I wrote this on Patrick's Day in 2009. Just give us a second there while I find it. It's in my book. Yeah, ever since a child, I've always had a deep connection to Ireland. My grandma's from Sligo, and she raised me in Newcastle. So as a child, I always had people always ask me where I'm from, and kind of difficult to say, but I was raised in Newcastle by my Irish grandmother, and she always used to bring us to Ireland, and
like grandfather's from Newcastle.
Very good. It's all connected. Ireland was very much part of, I suppose, my understanding of the world, being brought by my grandma and then coming to live in Ireland when I've been older. So I wrote this on Catrick's Day 2009. This Greenland carved by wind and sea, the ancestors of old and new keeping us wise, with its colour, poetry and free flowing water, Erin, a land of kings. The truth runs deep. We are carried on the wings of the heron back to our heart's truth. The three-leafed shamrock holding roots to our earthly promise. All who have walked and felt the breath of this land have been nurtured in the depths of their being. Last year I did a pilgrimage across Spain called the Road to Santiago Compostela. It's a walk from a place called Saint John Pied de Port, which is in southwest France. And I walked 500 miles across Spain with a backpack and a stick. And while I was on the Road to Santiago, I wrote a poem, and I came up the top of this mountain and I found this piece of stone, and I wrote my poem on a piece of stone. Here we go. So, a deeper soul truth, follow your dream, the splash of cool trickling water from an internal mountain chamber, water to quench, water to anoint the chosen ones, dusty roads of rock and sand guiding us to our heart's home. Immersed in this transcendental stream of love and rich colour and curious minds seeking what their hearts have always known. Take one step at a time, your soul will show you the way. Glide forward to the place of saints and wise men. Your angels are ever present. Can I show you some magic? You can say whatever you want. Do you mind if I show you some magic? Last year I travelled across Canada for 3 months, financed by a bag of balloons. And I might need an assistant at some point. And I went to a place called Winnipeg. Who's heard of Winnipeg?
Yeah.
Neil Young is from Winnipeg. There's a famous Celtic musician as well. Lorena McKinnis, she's from Winnipeg. And the most famous of all, Winnie the Pooh. So, Winnie the Pooh, some soldier was bringing a bear across to England back in the something century, back in the early 19th century. And the bear was nicknamed Winnie after Winnipeg, and his son couldn't say his name properly, so he just called him Pooh Bear, so Winnie the Pooh. And his son was called Christopher Robin. The story was about his son. So while I was in Winnipeg, I learned how to make this balloon. You can have as many guesses as you want, but I can only say yes or no. So you can ask me as many questions as you want, but I can only say yes or no. So you can say to me, is it an animal? And I can say yes or no. You can say,
is it a flower?
No.
Is it human?
No.
Is it fish?
No.
Is it an animal?
Yes. It's an animal.
Does it have four legs?
No.
Is it cold-blooded?
No. It's not cold-blooded. You think it was, but it's not cold-blooded, no.
Is it kept in the zoo?
Yes.
Does it have a tail?
Yes, great question. Keep asking.
Is it a monkey?
Is it a monkey? No.
Can it fly?
No.
Is it Winnie the Pooh?
No.
Can it swim?
Can it swim? Yes. Keep asking questions.
Is it a person? Does it have legs at all?
Is it a platypus? No. Is it what?
Does it have legs?
No. You have some questions. Is it an amphibian? No.
Is it a reptile?
No.
Dog.
Is it a dog? No. No. Is it a swim? Yes. I've already answered that one. Yes.
Does
it have four legs? No. Somebody asked before, did it fly? And I said no. Am I good? Is it a fish? No.
The
kind of fly? Kind of
fly?
No. But that might have thrown you. I'm just giving you a little clue there.
Is it a dolphin?
The
is it a dolphin? No.
The
is it a person? Is it a person? No.
Supernatural?
No.
The whale? Penguin?
Yes. Did you just guess by looking? Well, a penguin.
No.
Is it a four legs? And I said, no. Oh, so you said that it has two legs. Sorry. I've actually just brought it, so. I have to start again, sorry. You mind? You kick us off here if you think I'm going too long. I'll get it faster now, you guess what it is. Yeah. You will see how quick we can make it under pressure.
There's no pressure.
Underneath its feathers, its egg will freeze.
and there's been no more any penguin. Into the moment. As we give thanks for the lives we live, the universe cradles us in silken fabrics. We walk barefoot into dark forests, the flow of dreams ever guiding us home. I lie here on a bed of rose petals, ever giving thanks for love's power. It will bring tears to men of strength as we attune ourselves to love's cosmic vibration. Our souls become one.
Well, Aaron, it was, I think that was the first ever balloon manipulation.
Brother, pick up the letter by far. And another one about Zambia. It's crazy, I haven't been there since I was 10, 1979. Bare feet on hot tar. A woman sits under the makuyu tree. There is a pile of newspaper pages, a tonga basket of monkey nuts. She has the largest breasts in the world. Mangoes, pawpaws, even watermelons are nothing compared to these. For only 5 ngwe, she will roll us up a paper cone full to the brim. Zikomo omai, we say. We jump between shadows of malachite, leaves, copper sun, amethyst sky, red dust and shells fall behind. Africa is everyone's mother, tough as summer souls, hot and dark as sleep. Thank you.